Willie O'Ree joins us on Sports Byline. Willie has finally and deservedly been elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and he is the first African-American to play in the NHL, breaking pro hockey's color barrier in 1958, playing for the Bruins in a game against Montreal. Willie, I know you were born in a small Canadian city in a coal mining region northeast of Maine. Tell me a little bit about that town.
Well, Fredericton, it was approximately 35,000. I was the youngest of 13 children. And growing up, I had, I just had fun growing up. There were kids in the neighborhood that I played with. And when I started skating at the age of three and then started playing organized hockey at the age of five, I just kind of played up through the ranks. But it I can't remember having a bad day. There was cold winters and hot summers.
I also know that hockey, of course, is synonymous with Canada. It was like baseball for kids in the United States. But tell me, put it into perspective for me, what hockey meant to kids up there.
Well, myself, when I started skating at the age of three, I was and then playing organized hockey at the age of five. I was just obsessed with this kind of sport. There was the winter time, everything closed over. I used to skate to school. Elementary school was about two and a half blocks from my home, and I used to skate to school. I had a rink in my backyard that my dad made. It just kind of scraped the ground and then flooded it. And you had an instant rink, and there were ponds, lakes, rivers, creeks. So the availability of ice was there, and I was on skates every day in the wintertime. I used to skate to school and then come back and then just play with the kids and play street hockey. And I never played in an indoor rink until I was 15. It was all outdoor rinks.
Did you face any challenges as you were growing up being an African-American?
No, not really. I can't remember any racial remarks or slurs when I was growing up as a kid. It came later on when I started playing junior when I was 18, and then I turned pro in 1956. And then I was subject to the racial remarks and racial slurs. But thanks to my older brother who also played hockey, the two of us were the only two that played in the family. But he taught me a lot that I would need to know if I was going to pursue hockey as a career. And he said, Mangel will never hurt you unless you let them. He says, just go out and play hockey. And if they can't accept you for the individual that you are, then it's their tough luck. But, I heard it, but it didn't bother me. I didn't let it bother me while I was playing.
One of the things I've always been impressed with you, Willie, is your character and your determination. Now, I say that because during a junior league hockey season, you were hit in the eye by a puck. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it was my second year junior. I had played my first year in Quebec with Phil Watson, who was a coach, and then I went to Kitchener, Ontario, and played for a farm team of the Montreal Canadiens, and Black Jack Stewart was the coach. And it happened I was playing for the Kitchener-Waterloo Junior Canucks, and it happened in Guelph, Ontario. None of the players back then wore any helmets, no face shields, no cages or anything. Goalies didn't wear any masks. And it was there was a slap shot from one of my own defensemen. I'm in front of the net for deflection. The puck ricocheted off of a stick and come up and struck me in the right eye, hit me flat, broke my nose, broke my cheek. And I remember dropping down to the ice, and then the next thing I knew, I was being placed in an ambulance and taken to the hospital. Dr. Henderson was the surgeon, and I remember he's coming into my room, the recovery room, and stood by my bedside, and I had a big patch over my right eye. And he said, Mr. Reese, I'm sorry to inform you. He says the impact of the puck completely shattered the retina in your right eye. And he says, you're going to be blind. And he says, you'll never play hockey again. Well, I was 19 years of age and got clumped back in my hospital bed. And the goals and dreams that I had set for myself seemingly were gone. So I remained in the hospital another 4 days. I got out within the next 2 weeks. I'm back on the ice practicing. Now, I'm a left-hand shot and playing left wing, so to compensate, I had to turn my head all the way around to the right and look over my right shoulder to pick the puck in the playoff. And overskating the puck and missing the net, and I said, Willie, what's wrong? So I just told myself, I said, forget about what you can't see and just concentrate on what you can see. So the season ends. I go back to my hometown, Fredericton. I keep my fingers crossed because now I either have to play amateur or hopefully play pro. And when I went back to my hometown, I was hoping that somebody would give me a call and invite me to a pro training camp. Well, Punch Emlak was the coach and general manager of the Quebec Aces, a professional team up in Quebec, Canada. And he called me and said, Willie, he says, I watched you play the last couple of years, and I'd like to invite you to the Quebec Aces training camp. So I go to training camp, and I make the team, but I don't disclose the fact that I can't see it on my right eye because I never took an eye exam. I said, if I'm good enough to make the team with one eye, just don't tell them. So I played that year with the Quebec Aces. We won the championship. It was like winning the Stanley Cup in the NHL, and I was just so happy that I was able to play my first year pro and be in a championship team. So I go back to my hometown, and I spend the summer there working and playing baseball. And then I go to the Quebec training camp in 57. And I started, and then the Bruins wanted me to come to their training camp. So I went to the Bruins training camp in 57 and 58. And then in January the 18th, 1958, the Bruins called me and said that we want you to meet the Bruins in Montreal to play two games against the Montreal Canadiens. So when I stepped on the ice on January the 18th, I became the first black player to play in the league.
What did you learn about yourself going through that experience?
Well, I learned that, you could do anything you set your mind to do if you feel strongly within your heart, within your mind. I said, if if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. And there's a lot of truth to that. I just stayed focused on what I wanted to do. I forgot about being blind in my right eye. And the thing was, I never sat in front of an eye machine in 21 years I played pro. Never sat in front of one eye machine, because if I had it, I'd have never played pro hockey, and I'd have never would never play for the Bruins. But I just stayed focused and went out and played. I told myself that when I go to training camp, if they're going to keep 20 players or 22 players on the roster, I'm going to be one of the 22 regardless of what I have to do: skate harder, check harder, score more goals, or whatever. So that's what I kept in my mind, I stayed focused on that.
It's interesting. I know your story, and I've heard it before, but 13 kids growing up in a Canadian town, being African-American, wanting to play a sport that was primarily oriented toward whites and everything, that determination
right.
came from somewhere. Where did it come from?
Well, my family, I was from an athletic family. My sisters, they played volleyball, and they would go to track and field, and they played tennis. I had an older brother that played pro football. My older brother that also played hockey, he was a boxer. And the family was an athletic family. And then when I took to hockey, and my parents were very supportive. They were worried about me getting hurt. But I said, it's a body contact sport. You're going to get hurt from time to time. But if you keep yourself in the best possible, condition, then you have the best chance of getting hurt. So I just went out and played and just worked. I worked hard. When I had chances to get on the ice, I went and practiced my skating, my backward skating. I worked on my wrist shot and my snap shot. I just wanted to try to be the best hockey player I could be.
We only have about 45 seconds before we have to break, but Willie, what was that reaction like in Boston, or when you played with the Boston Bruins in January of 1958?
I scored my first goal in Boston. It was New Year's night, January the 1st, and we were playing against the Montreal Canadiens. And I was playing left wing, and third period, I broke away from my check, and I put the afterburners on, and Leo Worvin, one of my defensemen, just hit me with a perfect pass, and I go in, I went on Charlie Hodge. The Ponk was hurt, so Charlie Hodge was a backup goalie. So I went on Charlie Hodge and made a few moves on him. And then I either shot the puck right along the ice or just off the ice. It hit the inside of the post and went in. That made a 3-1 for the Bruins. And then Honor the pocket rocket scored about 7 minutes later, made it 3-2. But the goal that I scored turned out to be the winning goal. And the Bruins gave me a standing ovation. I can remember it like it was yesterday. It was great.
Willie O'Ree is with us, and of course, he is a pioneer and has been inducted or going to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. He is the first African-American to play in the National Hockey League, breaking the pro hockey color barrier in 1958, as you heard him say, playing for the Bruins in a game against Montreal. We continue on Sports Byline. Willie O'Ree has joined us on Sports Byline, a deserving member of the Hockey Hall of Fame as the first African-American to play in the National Hockey League. I know you've been referred to as the Jackie Robinson of ice hockey, and when you were young, if I'm correct, you had a chance a couple of times to talk to Jackie. Tell me about those meetings.
I had the great pleasure of meeting Mr. Robinson on two occasions. When I was 14, I was playing baseball in my hometown. I played shortstop and second base, and we won the league that year, and our reward was our team was going to be taken to New York to see the Empire State Building and the Radio Music City Hall and Coney Island. And I went to see a Dodger game. After the game, I went down to the dugout and had the great pleasure of meeting Mr. Robinson. We shook hands and talked about baseball and talked about hockey, and I told him that I not only played baseball, but I played hockey, and Mr. Robinson didn't realize that there were any black kids playing hockey at the time. I said, yeah, there's a few. So had a nice talk with him for about 7 minutes, and then more media people came. So that was in 1949. In 1961, I was traded to the Los Angeles Blades, the pro team in Los Angeles. And I came there and started playing. Well, in 1962, the NAACP had a luncheon for Mr. Robinson at one of the hotels in Los Angeles. I received an invitation to the hockey club, so I go to the hotel with the coach and two other players. We're standing, and Mr. Robinson is standing offside talking to a couple of media people, and we were waiting to talk to Jackie. When he finished, the coach came over to Mr. Robinson, introduced himself and introduced the players. He said, Mr. Robinson, he said, I'd like you to meet one of our former players, newly acquired from the Ottawa Canadiens, Willie O'Ree. And Mr. Robinson turned and looked me in the eye, and then he said, Willie O'Ree, aren't you the young fellow I met in Brooklyn? Now, that's the first time I met him was 1949. Now I meet him in 1962, and I can tell you it made a big impact on me.
One of the other things, and you've alluded to it a couple of times, is that you had a love for baseball, and you were invited to the Milwaukee Braves minor league facility, but you turned them down to pursue your hockey career. Tell me a little bit about that love for baseball.
Well, a lot of people thought that I was a better baseball player than a hockey player. But I played shortstop and second base, and I was playing for the Marysville Royals in just outside of my hometown. Fredericton was one city, and then the next city was a small community called Marysville. And I went and played for them, and then I was contacted by a couple of scouts from the Milwaukee Braves minor league operations in Waycross, Georgia. And they said, Mr. Reed said, yeah. And he said, we'd like to invite you to the training camp. And I said, no, I'm really not interested. I'm going to pursue hockey as a career, and I play baseball here to keep myself in shape. And I make a few bucks. So they said, well, there's not too many black kids that get the opportunity to go to a major league training camp. And I said, well, I really appreciate the offer, but no thanks. So they said, well, we're going to be in town a couple of days. Here's our business card. If you decide you want to change your mind, please give us a call. So I go and, you know, I talk to my mom and dad, and they said, oh, no. They said, the way blacks are treated in the South, no, I don't think you should go down. Then I talked to my older brother, who was not only my brother and my friend, but he was my mentor, and, he taught me a lot of things. And he says, well, how do you really feel inside? Do you really think you'd like to go, or just say no. I said, well, I'd like to go get the experience. I think it'd be great. They said, then we'll then go. So I fly into Atlanta, Georgia. I step off the plane, walk into the terminal. The first thing I see is white only and colored only. Well, I went into the colored restroom. Now I have to contact a black cab driver out in front because I have to find a hotel. And I talked to him, and he took me to an all-black area, stayed in a nice little hotel. The next day I'm on the bus, about 2.5 hour ride into Waycross. Get into Waycross, assigned a dorm with seven other black players and players of color. Issued uniform. The next day we're out, and first day of training, and I could hear some racial remarks from some of the white players, but it just went in one in and out the other. The first week goes by, and I'm still there. Now, outside of your dorm, they have a list, and if your name appears on this list, that means you're going to be sent back home. So the second week, and I'm still there, and the latter part of the second week, my name's on the list, so I go in. And they said, Mr. Ree, we were impressed with your play, but we think you need a little more seasoning. So now I'm heading back home. I get on the bus, and blacks had to sit in the back of the bus, which I knew, so I go to the back of the bus. I'm 5 days on the bus, and as the bus is rumbling, getting closer up north, I start moving up in the bus and move halfway up. And now when I get to Bangor, Maine, I'm sitting right at the front of the bus. I get off the bus. In another 3 hours, I arrive in my hometown. When I stepped off the bus in Fredericton, I said, Willie, forget about baseball. Concentrate on hockey. And then in September, I went to the training camp up in Quebec and started my pro season with the Quebec Aces. But I really enjoyed the experience, but I wasn't treated that well. I mean, you know, you could hear the racial remarks and slurs, and I just said if they had offered me a contract, I probably would have turned it down and came back to my hometown.
Willie, the first time I ever saw you, I was a sportscaster on television in Seattle, and the Seattle Totems were the Western Hockey League franchise up there. You were playing for San Diego, and I will never forget watching the burst of speed that you had going. I mean, it was like a blur. Now, I use that as a preface to something I want to ask you about. There was a time when the Soviet national team, their hockey team, came and they went along the West Coast, and they played against Seattle. I'll never forget that game. Did you play against them? And tell me about their style of play, because they were known for about six touches before they even took a shot at the goal.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I played against them five times while, you know, during the years they come over. And the one thing I know about, the one thing I really recognized about the team, that there was a center ice, but the center ice was the defenseman. The defenseman was the left winger. The left winger was a right defenseman. I mean, they moved around and they moved the puck around, and all of a sudden the puck's in the net. You know, you didn't like our style of play. You know, defenseman stayed on defense and forward stayed, you know, playing forward. But they turned that style around, and when they come over, they just changed the style of hockey, and I think it was for the better.
One of the other things I remember about them is they did not like the physicality of the American hockey game. They did not like back-checking.
No, they didn't, as you mentioned, they didn't like the physical part of the game. And, I mean, I grew up, you know, getting hit and learning how to, you know, body check. So, basically, that's the way I played.
When you take a look at the style of hockey from when you got into it professionally to where it is today, what are the major changes that you see, Willie?
Oh, well, first of all, they've made some rule changes, which has made the game a lot more exciting for the fans. Players are bigger, stronger, better conditioned than we were, because they have the facilities right in the arenas. You know, you play a game, and then after the game, you go right into the weight room and the training. You're on the bicycle, or you're doing push-ups, and basically you're really not out of shape. And the style of play, I like the style of play. I like the 4-on-4, the 3-on-3. I'm not too much excited about the shootouts. I mean, I think of that as an individual between just the player and the goalie. The 3-on-3 and the 4-on-4 is more of a team effort. And the game has really come along, over the years. And I enjoy watching the game. I like to be in the arenas rather than watch it on the telly.
After your stint in the National Hockey League, there was no other black players in the NHL until another Canadian player, Mike Morrison, was drafted by the Washington Capitals in 74, and there were 23 black players in the NHL as of the mid-2010s, and the most prominent, of course, being P.K. Subban. Is this a sport?
P.K. Subban.
Yeah, is this a sport that is growing with African Americans?
Yes. There's more kids playing hockey today than ever before. There's more rinks being constructed, and I mean, hockey is a very unique sport. I mean, you can go and be in a gym or. And you can toss a baseball or football or kick a soccer ball or bat a tennis ball or whatever. But in order to play hockey, you need to get on the ice. That's how you develop your skills. And I think now that the more kids are realizing that hockey is a sport that you can play. And basically, that's the program that I'm involved with. The Hockey is for Everyone. I have conducted a lot of clinics, and once you get these boys and girls on the ice, and I've not had one boy or girl come up to me and say, Mr. Ria, I don't like this. It's just something about the sport. Once they learn how to skate, once you learn to get a stick and maneuver a puck, you've got them hooked. And I think it's great the way that these kids are playing now and being developed.
A lot of people ask me in all my years of interviewing players which ones I enjoy the most, and I have to tell you that at the top of my list is hockey players, and I'll tell you the reason why. They're blue-collar athletes. They come from those Canadian towns. They come from Europe now, around the world, and there's something about their love and their passion for the sport that doesn't make them jaded. Help me out here.
Yes, that's true. That's very true, and I've heard this from so many people that I've talked to over the years. They just say they're really down to earth type of individuals, and they love the sport, and it's a passion that that you have within yourself.
When you take a look at the great players, and I'm talking about the truly great players that you played against, that you saw during your time in professional hockey, and then over the years up to the present time, what is the commonality that they all have?
Well, I think it's that camaraderie that players have. I played against the Rocket in Montreal and Gordie Howe in Detroit and Bobby Hull in Chicago and the players and when I played in the National Hockey League, there were only six teams. It was called the Original Six, and that built up to about 170 or 200 players total. Playing, but now we've got 31 teams with the addition of Las Vegas, and I believe that I think that there's going to be two more teams coming in within the next two or three years, and I heard that Seattle was one of them. But I've talked to in my travels, I meet a lot of the NHL players that have been retired and players that I had the pleasure of playing against, and it just seems that when you meet and you shake your hands and then you just kind of go back into when you were playing and some of the things that you remember about the game and the enjoyment you get.
We only have a minute left, and speaking about remembering, when you think back on your long storied Hall of Fame career, is there one moment that's kind of ingrained in Willie O'Ree's mind that he'll never forget?
Well, scoring the first, breaking into the NHL, January the 18th, 1958 was great, and then scoring my first goal. But the remembrance now I have of when I came back after I retired and got involved with the Hockey is for Everyone program, and I mentioned this a little earlier about Lou Vero, who mentioned to Brian McBride, that he said, meeting Jackie Robinson and But we have our own Jackie Robinson in hockey, and nobody in the room knew who it was. And Lou Barrow said, well, Willie O'Ree, he says, I was living in New York, and I watched him play in the old Madison Square Garden. He says, yeah, he was with the Boston Bruins. And then Brian McBride says, well, where is he? Maybe he'd like to get involved with this program. And Lou said, well, I think he's out there in San Diego. He was playing there with the San Diego Gold, the professional team. So Brian tried to get a hold of me, and he couldn't. So he knew a couple of FBI gentlemen in San Diego, and he called them, and he said, look, I'm trying to get in touch with Willie O'Ree. He says, can you help me? And they got back to him within a couple of hours. He said, yeah, he says he's working over at the Hotel Del Coronado, in historical hotel in Coronado Island.
Willie O'Ree, the first African-American elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame. We continue on Sports Byline.